Chapter 22 and verse number 17. Chapter 22 and verse 17 of the book of Revelation. Again, we started this in January of 2018. And here we are 18, 19 months later, concluding the book of Revelation. I hope it's been a blessing to you. I know it has been a blessing to me when I have studied and prepared for it and then to preach and teach through it. Revelation chapter 22, beginning in verse number 17, the last few verses of the book of Revelation, which are the last few verses of the Bible itself. And it says in verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." We have made mention already of the fact that really the running commentary of the scripture ends in Revelation 22 and verse number 5. Verse number 5 was the end of all things. And from verse 6 now to verse 21 is John's conclusion after that. And in his conclusion, he highlights the parting thoughts of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You cannot deny the triunity of God. There are many that get confused on that issue, and many that don't understand it, many that can't differentiate between the three. And again, we've said this, we cannot explain the Trinity of God. We cannot explain how God can be three in one and one in three and the one in the middle died for me. We know the poems, we know the sayings, we know the cliches, but we can't comprehend that. We can use the illustrations. We know we're body, soul, and spirit, three things, one person. But when we read the scripture, we can't categorize that and liken it. And the simple answer to that is simply this. God's smarter than we are. And God can do things that we don't understand. And it's not that we worship three gods, we worship one God, but one God in three persons. And nothing is more conclusive than that, than when John ends the book of Revelation and ends the Bible itself, he ends with a final word from the Father, from the Son, and from the Holy Spirit. We looked in verse 6 to 10, we looked at the Father's last comments, we called that the Word of God. And the emphasis was on this book, this book, this book. Everything you know about God, you know because of this book right here. A lot of folks know things about God that aren't in the Bible. And if they're not in the Bible, then they're just somebody's hallucinations or somebody's opinions or somebody's thoughts. And they may or may not be correct. But even if they're correct, they must not be important because God didn't take the time to tell us that. So all we need to know about God is what we find in this book. I'm always weary of people that everything they know about God is by reading a book about the Bible. Have you read this guy's book and that guy's book? And you know me, I'm a reader, I'm all for reading, and I like reading, I'm reading constantly. But if all I know about God is what I read from somebody, what somebody else wrote about him, I'm getting the wrong thing. What I need to know about God comes from this book right here. And so, John gives us the parting thoughts of God the Father. Get in this book. Read the Bible. Then in verse 11 down through verse 16, we saw the work of Christ. And we saw the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us in his redemption and what he's done on Calvary's cross. And this is the conclusion of the whole matter. If you ignore what Jesus did on Calvary, you've lost the whole thing. If you think salvation is by getting dipped in a tank of water, if you think it's by a confirmation, if you think it's by anything but the cross of Christ, you've missed the purpose of 66 books of the Bible. Of 1,500 pages of scripture, or over 1,500 pages, you've missed it if you don't realize the work of Christ on Calvary. So he gives us the Word of God, the work of Christ, and then here in these verses tonight, verse 17 to 21, we get the witness of the Spirit. The witness of the Spirit. It says in verse number 17, the Spirit, capital S. You and I have a spirit, small s. We need to bring our spirit in subjection to the Holy Spirit, capital S. We are, the way we are Our nature is for our spirit to be contrary to the Holy Spirit. We have to bring it into subjection to the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? Through the Word of God and the work of Christ and the witness of the Spirit. That's how we bring our spirit into subjection to God's Spirit. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. We're looking under the Spirit of the witness. We're going to see three things. Number one, His last welcome, verse 17. His last welcome. And in verse 17 it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. You know that word come appears over 1,900 times in Scripture. These are the last three times. This is the last invitation. And it is the Spirit and the bride. Who's the bride? It's the church. You know what our job is to do, folks? Our job is in conjunction with the Spirit of God to invite people to come. Come to Christ. Brother Lewis said it. If somebody's known us for 6 months and doesn't even know that we're a Christian, if we've not talked about something about telling them about the plan of salvation or the way, we fail. Because the Bible says the purpose of the Spirit and the bride, the church together, is to invite people to come. We need to be busy doing the work of the Spirit and the bride. We need to be busy inviting people to come. The invitation is extended by the Spirit and by the church. Come. It's the responsibility of the church through the Spirit to invite people to come. You and I need to fulfill our responsibilities. The third person of the Godhead, as we call it, was there at the very beginning. He's there at the very end. And the invitation is to come. You know when the first time the word come appears in the Bible? Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. Come thou and all thy family into the ark. The invitation, the first invitation ever given, come. Come into the ark. Come into the ark. The last invitation, the Spirit and the bride say, come. If you can get from Genesis to Revelation and not accept the invitation to come, you've missed the boat. You've missed the whole thing. Because that's what the Bible is about, inviting Jesus Christ into your life. Come, come, come. Let him that heareth. Not only the Spirit and the bride say, come, but notice it says, let him that heareth say, come. Those who hear the words of the prophecy of this book shouldn't be impressed to invite others to come. Here's the thing. I know folks that go from one prophecy conference to another prophecy conference. They want to hear teaching on the book of Revelation. They want to hear eschatology. They want to know the signs of the times, and they'll forsake their local church to run all over the country to go from one seminar to another and one prophecy conference to another, and they'll run around getting all this stuff because they want to know what are the signs and what's going on. You could know everything about all there is to know about prophecy, and if you never invite somebody to Jesus Christ, you've missed the purpose of the whole thing. The purpose of the book of Revelation is not to fill us with information so we know the future. It's to warn us about what's coming. The seven trumpets, the seven vials, the seven plagues. To knowing these things and knowing the plan of God. To invite others to miss the tribulation period. Miss the lake of fire. Miss the great white throne of judgment. It's not enough just to know about those things. Knowing those things ought to motivate us to warn people not to be there. Come to Christ. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst, come. Three invitations. Come. 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 Let him that is athirst, come. This is the offer that Jesus made in John 4:14. Come unto me. Let him come unto me. If he's thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. Jesus said in Luke, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. His invitation is come. What's your relationship? I heard Charles Stanley say that on radio this week. He said his question when he's witnessing to somebody, meets somebody out on the street first time. You know, you're always trying to think, what tricky thing can I say? What catchphrase can I use when I'm first going to witness to somebody or meet somebody and hand him a gospel tract? And all he does is to say, what's your relationship to Jesus Christ? That's not a bad question. You know, you see two people sitting together and it looks like they're family. You say, hey, how are you guys related? What's going on here? That's something people are used to hearing. What's your relationship to Jesus Christ? That's a good question. And the Bible says that let him that is athirst come. Jesus said, come, come, come. And whosoever will, verse 17, this last welcome, the invitation, if you're a Calvinist in here, if you even know what that is, that ought to run you out right there. And whosoever will. You know what that means? It means whosoever will. For those of you that might not be, when we say tulip and Calvinist, sometimes folks don't know what there is a theology, a line of thinking that Jesus did not die for everybody, that he only died for a chosen few, and that everybody doesn't have the invitation to come to Christ. But my Bible says that God so loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his own. Not he so loved his few chosen people from down through the age, but he so loved the world, and the Bible says, whosoever will may come. For whosoever shall call may be saved. The whosoever's are all throughout Scripture. And the Bible ends with that last invitation. Come, come, come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life. The invitation in verse 17, and then I've also put the inclusiveness. Whosoever will. There's nobody that Jesus didn't die for. There's nobody that can't get saved. And I don't care about what point of life they're at. I remember Helma Stevens was her name. I forget her husband's name. Lived out there across Route 800 by the Dickinsons on the other side there. What's that little community called, Brother Darrell? Henrysburg. That's right, Henrysburg. I got invited to go visit Mr. Stevens, and I can't remember his first name. He was in the hospital at Barnesville, and I went out there to visit them. This is years and years ago. I went to visit them, and I don't know who'd witnessed to them. I don't know what their background was, but I sat in that hospital room, began to talk to them about the Lord, and both of them right there on the spot got saved. Right there in the hospital room, and I'm not an easy guy to just have somebody repeat a prayer and do some. I make sure they understand, and they both trusted Christ, and they got saved. He didn't live a month after that. He went home from the hospital. She came to church for a couple of years after that till she passed away. But he went home right into hospice care, brought a hospital bed into him. And it wasn't long after that that he passed away, and I had his funeral, and that was, things were done. That was it. But even at that point in his life, I don't know, 70 some, maybe 80 years old, at that point at the end of the life, he could call upon the name of the Lord and the Lord would save him. I got in an argument with two Church of Christ people. Kind of friends of mine, guys I knew, and I told them that story, and they both said, he didn't get saved. He didn't go to heaven. Did he get baptized? I thank God that the invitation is not whosoever will, let him get baptized. It's whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. Freely. It's an open invitation. All you've got to do is believe on Christ and trust Christ, and you can receive it. And the Bible ends with the last welcome of the Spirit. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Not only the last welcome, but verse 18 and verse 19 are the last warning. The last warning in verse 18 and 19. And a very serious warning. Verse 18 says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, again, that's talking about the book of Revelation. The words of the prophecy of this book. When John's writing that, he's talking about that book he's writing. And yet we can't get away from the inescapable fact that this is coming at the end of the canon of Scripture and has an application of everything from Genesis to Revelation. And the Bible says in verse 18 that for every man that hears the prophecy of the Lord, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. You remember the plagues that are written in this book? You remember the tumors and the sores and the fire from heaven and the pain and the torture and all that stuff? God values his word so highly and esteems it so highly that if a man purposely and with full intent denies the word of God or changes the word of God or alters the word of God, he's asking for trouble. Any preacher or preacherette that gets up into a pulpit and teaches things that are contrary to that book right there, they're going to get plagues added to them. There are degrees of punishment in hell. And someone that stands behind, as Brother Hamblin would call it, this sacred desk to preach the Word of God, and misuses their responsibilities by talking about stuff that's not in the Bible and has no spiritual value to it, God says when they add to his words, teaching things that aren't there, and boy, they do. If you've ever heard any of it, they add things that aren't in the Word of God. I was talking to my son yesterday, and he said he has Sirius Radio, I think it is, on this new vehicle he's bought. He's never had Sirius Radio before, so he was trying to go through there and find a radio station with good Christian music. Good luck with that. And he couldn't find that, but he found Joel Osteen's channel. on there. He said, I've heard of him, I know about him, but I've never heard him. I thought, this is a chance for me to get. He said, I listened to like 5 minutes. He said, I turned it off and I said, that guy's a crook. Now, I don't know what he said in those 5 minutes he heard him. I've heard enough of him to know Mr. Smiley Face. I know where he's coming from and all that stuff. But here, this is why this is serious stuff. Who's going to add to the Word of God? Well, it's not the socialist, and it's not the evolutionist, and it's not these folks those that add to the Word of God are those that pretend to be ministers. Those that pretend to be holy and religious and scholars, I might say. And the Bible says to them that they need to be careful, because when they start adding to the Word of God, above what God said, I think of the Mormon church writing the Book of Mormon, adding to Scripture. The others that do these things that think that the Bible's not completed and there's more revelation to be done. God puts a very serious warning at the end of His book about that. Now, it's not the first warning. You might want to write these references down. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. Here again is why I say that though this verse comes at the end of the book of Revelation, it's not just about Revelation. It's about all the Bible, because this same warning is given at the beginning, it's given in the middle, and it's given at the ending. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible says, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it. You don't add to the Word of God. You don't take away from the Word of God. Now, we're going to, beginning in the next couple weeks, talk about the differences in Bible versions. And let me say this, I don't think this is applying to those folks. Because I have not seen a guy that takes out Matthew 18:11 out of the Bible get plagued with the plagues of the Bible. Those are men that are, and it's hard for me to even say this, but they're sincerely, at least in their own mind, doing what they're doing and thinking they're doing the right thing. Now, if there is among them someone that knows what they're doing is wrong and is doing it anyways, that's the curse. All right, someone that's doing this thing or that thing unwittingly, but when they purposely and with full intent do it, God says, if you add to it or take away from it, you these punishments are going to come. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 6, in the middle of the Bible it says, add thou not unto his words. Add thou not unto his words. And again, we'll get into that. Some folks say that the new Bibles aren't missing 16 verses. Our Bible has added 16 verses. And we'll talk about that when we get into that study later. All right? Add not to his words. If any man shall add unto these things, it says in Revelation, in other words, in translating or in teaching, take heed not to add things to what God has said. Be careful in not teaching strange doctrines, personal preferences, things that are not in the Word of God. And so the Bible gives a warning for that in verse number 18, the last warning. There's a punishment for adding, the Bible says, but then in verse 19, there's also a punishment for subtracting. Now, kids, that doesn't mean you can go to math class and tell your teacher, the preacher told me I'm not supposed to add and I'm not supposed to subtract. But this is talking about to the Word of God. Verse 19, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy. Notice that the key word in that verse, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy. The words, not the thoughts, not the statements, not the original intent of the author. I love that phrase. When these people that are educated beyond their intelligence. So when you read what John's writing, you have to determine what was the original intent of the author. You know what? You'll never know that. Because you weren't there 2,000 years ago. It's an impossible task. You're wasting your time and mine by talking about the original intent of the author. And so, what is important? Not the thoughts, not the teachings, but the words. If any man shall take away from the words of this prophecy, every word of God is pure. Thou shalt keep them. What? O Lord, Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Thou shalt keep them. The words. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. It's the words that are important. If any man shall take away from the words of this book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. There's a punishment for subtracting. This invitation comes at the end of all things. After heaven and earth have passed away and the new earth has been created and all these things that we talked about in chapter 21, and all these things happen, God says, if any man shall take away from the words of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. That's not losing your salvation. That's losing your life out of the book of life. God shall take away his part, it says also, out of the holy city. God shall take away his part from the things which are written in this book. What's the lesson? Don't mess with the Word of God. It doesn't need to be rewritten, it needs to be reread. Don't mess with it. There's been no greater weakness in the modern church than the diluting of the Word of God and the diluting power in the lives of people that are being fed by imitation Bibles. Because there's no power in them. There's no Holy Spirit behind them. So God gives the warning for that. Messing with the words is obviously pretty important to God. And it's obvious that a saved person would not or could not do this. Because we know you can't lose your salvation. So those that are messing with it are not really saved. Those that are violating the scripture here, because their name's going to be taken out of the book of life, the holy city, and they're going to experience the things which are written in this book. We see his last welcome in verse 17, his last warning, verse 18 and 19, and finally, his last word in verse 20 and 21. His last word. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Now here's the word come again, but this time it's in the opposite. I'm coming. Surely I come quickly. This is Jesus speaking. Surely I come quickly. Amen. Remember again, the word quickly doesn't mean soon, but quickly means in speed. Man, he's quick. He's fast. We say that about, we use that in reference to people. You got your work done quickly. That doesn't mean they got it done soon necessarily, but when they started, they got it done fast. When Jesus comes, it's going to be quick. In other words, if the Lord was going to come right now at 8:25 on Sunday night, when he comes, he comes. It's not a slow approach. It's not like the young lady walking across in slow motion asking for beans. When the Lord comes, it's in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And when he comes, we are caught out of here and there's no second thought. There's no other thing to do. You're just gone. You're gone. You're gone. And the things that begin to happen in the book of Revelation, one after the other, one rolls into the other, and 7 years have gone by before you even know what's happened. Behold, he says, he which testifieth saith these things, surely I come quickly. And then John says this in the end of verse 20, even so, come Lord Jesus. You realize how powerful that statement is right there? John has just seen everything from Revelation 4 to Revelation 21. He's seen the 7-year tribulation period. He has seen the 7 seals unleashed on the earth. He's heard the 7 trumpets sound. He's seen the 7 vials poured out. And even John himself, you remember how many times the angel had to come and nudge him and say, John, write. Because John was just amazed at all he saw going on and the devastation. A couple times he fell down in pure agony out of what's going on, brokenhearted as Jeremiah did over Jerusalem. He fell down brokenhearted. The angel had to lift him up and say, John, write this stuff down. And after viewing all of the stuff, both positive and negative, John says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. There's going to be some folks that you know and love. They're going to spend eternity in hell. Eternity in a lake of fire. You know what you say? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, give me one more day to reach them. Lord, give me one more opportunity to talk to them. John said, no, even so, come, Lord Jesus. If it's today, Lord, come. There's many unsaved, but by tomorrow, there's more than there is today. There's more next week than there was this week. The population is growing and expanding on this earth. And the greater the population, the more majority of people are going to a lake of fire. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, verse 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't mess with that word Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. This is unusual. Brother Lewis, you'll like this. I was driving back. I saw Brother Wilcox on Thursday and I was driving back home. I was looking for a radio station to listen to because I'm out of my area up in Stark County. And I found this radio station and some guy's on there. And he's preaching. And he's saying, you know, and I forget what his sermon was about, but he said this over and over again. You need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to believe in Jesus Christ. If you're called by Jesus Christ to serve Him, you need to serve Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't realize, that's very unusual to hear that, because people just say Jesus. Hey, you need to believe in Jesus. You need to call upon Jesus. You need to serve Jesus. And so this guy's saying, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and serve. And I wish I'd have been counting him. I wish I'd been marking him down because he said Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, 100 times, if not more. And I was talking to my radio. I'm saying, who is this guy? And his preaching was good. And everything was good. And he also had a little tick in him. And he'd say, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had this little and Brother Lewis knows what I'm talking about. If you've ever heard Dr. Ruckman preach or teach, this guy sounded just like him. Wasn't his voice, it wasn't him, but he had hit the man, and I'm sitting there just talking to the radio. Who is this? I got to the Coshocton exit, and I was losing the station. I pulled over at the exit. I got off and pulled in the gas station. I didn't want to lose it until I found out who this guy was. I thought maybe it's Andrew Decker. But I knew it had to be a Ruckmanite, as we would say. I knew it had to be, because just the Lord Jesus, when these guys come from where Lewis went to school and John Wester went to school, and I'm not comparing that to other school, but one thing I always notice about them is their proper use of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus, 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 Jesus. Now our songs use that sometimes. That's not a problem. But here, it's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be with you all, amen. Now, I don't want to leave you hanging. The guy's name was Chuck Sabaka. You've heard Dr. Ruckman talk about Mel Sabaka. This is his nephew. So he grew up at Canton Baptist Temple. He heard Dr. Ruckman preach buku times, whatever, and he just picked up those habits and did that stuff. But the thing that stuck out was is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good habit to get into, folks. When you're talking to somebody about the Lord, you say, Lord Jesus Christ. I'll give you this just for a dime's sake. Verse number 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word Christ is taken out of all the New Bible versions in that verse right there. The very parting last words of the Bible. And they can't leave it alone. And they take out that title. It's just the Lord Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The grace. The grace. The grace. You know what the last word of the Old Testament is in Malachi chapter 4? Lest he come and smite the earth with a curse. The last word of the Old Testament, before you turn to Matthew 1, the last word of the Old Testament is curse. You know why? Because we're under the law. And nobody's going to succeed under the law. But the last parting thought of the New Testament is grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Young people, don't lose what you got at camp. We want that. All right? Come back and do that here and get us kick-started so we'll do it too. Raise your hands when we're singing. Say amen. Say hallelujah. Say praise the Lord. Maybe some of us old fogies will get on board with you. All right? I'm not judging the rest of us. I'm judging me as well as everybody else. We'll get in there too. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Say it with me. Amen. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the book of Revelation. Lord, thank you for the past year and a half that we have had time on Sunday evenings to go through this wonderful and marvelous book. God, as we've said tonight, may it, Father, not just fill our minds with facts and knowledge that we know more than anybody else does about the things to come, But Father, may it be a stark reminder to us each and every day that the end is near. That the Lord Jesus, even so, come Lord Jesus, He could come any moment, any time, and everybody's chance for salvation is pretty well over. The age of grace will be dismissed, and a terrible time will be upon our friends and our neighbors and loved ones and co-workers. Lord, I pray this study of Your Word would motivate us to have a desire to see the lost saved. Thank You, God, for our church, for this Sunday evening service, for this opportunity we have to be fed from the Word of God. Lord, may we not take it lightly, and may You use it in our heart and lives to draw us ever closer to You. Feed us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. What song do we have, Brother Lewis? Page